Bismillah, in the name of Allah. I wake up every morning, say Allah is the unique. I'm hungry, wash my hands, but before say Bismillah. I wake up every morning, say Allah is the unique. I'm hungry, wash my hands, but before say Bismillah, Bismillah, Bismillah.
لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in our knowledge of Deen. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How is everyone today? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Are you guys excited for the new session? Alhamdulillah. How was your weekend? Good? Great? MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. I like when the students are writing Alhamdulillah instead of saying good or great. So it would be nice if we try to respond where we are also trying to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us spend our day like He wants us to spend our day as. Inshallah. Very good. MashaAllah. I can see most of you writing Alhamdulillah now. MashaAllah. It's almost Ramadan. Yes, I know. I know. Maybe 3 days, maybe 4 days. We don't know. But inshallah, soon and possibly in our next class, it might be the first day of Ramadan, right? So no one knows. It all depends on the moon, and it all depends when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills it to be, inshallah. So are you guys ready for Ramadan? Inshallah. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this the best Ramadan of our life, inshallah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a beautiful chance to learn His deen, inshallah, inshallah. So let's start with our attendance time. I can see most of you have written your names, your first and last name, and you have wrote present in front of your name. So those of you who have not written your names, please go ahead and write your names and write down present in front of your name so that I know who is with me in class today, inshallah. Inshallah. So anything that resonated with you in previous classes that you really, really liked about your class, I have just lowered your hands. I just want to ask you that what was the best thing that stayed with you even over the weekend, and you kept reminding yourself that I need to do this because I have learned from my class. Right? So is there anything that you would like to share that really, really inspired you to remember? It might be any of the stories lessons, or it might be any of the manners that you learned, or any of the lessons that you learned from the surah. So one thing or one reminder that stayed with you over the weekend. Okay, Raid, are you ready to share that with me?
Assalamualaikum. One of my favorite things was the dua. I love the dua after eating.
MashaAllah. And did you practice the dua?
Yes, I did. Whenever I finish eating, I always said it.
Okay, MashaAllah. Jazakallahu khairan kaseeran for sharing. MashaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase your knowledge. Hania, can you share with me? And with your friends as well?
I learned that after eating dua too, and whenever I ate, I always read that.
MashaAllah. Jazakallah khair, Hania. Did you share that dua with anyone in your family, or did you remind anyone when they were done eating? Did you got a chance to do that? Hania, did you get a chance to do that? Saying the dua as a reminder? Okay, I think Hani is away now. Okay, let's ask Muhammad Dawar. Okay, Muhammad, can you tell me what is the thing that stayed with you?
Like how to enter Jannah and not to do bad deeds.
Okay, so what deed did you do?
I gave sadaqah and I prayed and revised the Quran.
Very good, very good. MashaAllah, JazakAllah khair kathira, Muhammad Dawar, for sharing that. MashaAllah, you did good deeds and you had in your head that you wanted to enter Jannah, MashaAllah. And everyone, especially those who have joined the class, they had this goal in their head. I believe that they had that goal in their head that they really, really want to go to Jannah, inshallah. So let's move on to our new surah today. And inshallah, our new surah is going to be, in a moment I'm going to be sharing what our surah is going to be. But before, we need to make sure that we have practiced our etiquette of Quran time. What do we need to do? We need to focus and we need to listen carefully. And those of you who are ready, steady with your notebooks and with their colorful pens or pencils, I hope if you are not ready, please go and grab your notebook really, really quick and sit down with your Quran so that we can get started, inshallah. And mashallah, I can see some of you are already showing me their beautiful notebooks. Mashallah, mashallah, I really like that gesture. So, type one if you have already made wudu. Remember I said in my previous classes as well that it would be very nice if you make wudu because we will be starting to recite the Quran. MashaAllah, MashaAllah, I can see many students saying that they already made wudu. Very good, MashaAllah. Very good, MashaAllah. So practicing cleanliness, that also allows us to respect Allah's book. And inshallah, we should keep on doing that in upcoming classes as well, and especially if we are also reciting the Quran. And the month of Ramadan is coming and we need to practice that, the recitation of Quran and making wudu regularly, inshallah. So let's move on to our surah. Our surah is going to be Suratul Kafirun today. Suratul Kafirun. And before reciting Suratul Kafirun, what do we need to say? Who we need to ask protection from? Who is our enemy? Who is our enemy? Shaytan is our enemy. That's right. Shaytan is our enemy. Iblis is our enemy. And let's say together, A'udhu billahi من الشيطان الرجيم. I seek refuge with Allah from Shaytan, the cursed one. Let's say it together one more time. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. And next is going to be we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give barakah in our time and also give us knowledge of this book and also give barakah in our iman. And let's say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Again, let's say one more time. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Okay, so once we have equipped ourselves with the protection and we have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us during this time, we are moving on towards the very first verse of Surah Al-Kafirun. Okay, can anyone tell me what juz, in what part of the Quran Suratul Kafirun is? In what part of the Quran Suratul Kafirun is? In what juz Suratul Kafirun is? It is in Juz 30th. Yes, mashallah. Yes, very good, mashallah. Very good. Okay, so let's focus now on the translation of Surah Al-Kafirun. And I believe most of you already have memorized Surah Al-Kafirun. If not, then let's say it together. And then I'm going to be asking you to memorize this surah. And why do we need to memorize this surah? Or what's basically the message of this surah? Inshallah, I'm going to be sharing that in a moment. But let's start the translation first. Qul, say, Ya ayyuha, O you, Al-Kathirun, the disbelievers. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ Say, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, O disbelievers, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say to the disbelievers. And what does he mean to say the disbelievers is going to come into next verse. So let's say the translation of قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ Say, O Muhammad, O you, the disbelievers. Verse 2, لا أعبد ما تعبدون لا I do not أعبد worship ما what تعبدون you worship meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu to make it clear to the disbelievers that I worship not that which you worship. That Prophet ﷺ does not worship what those disbelievers worshipped. Do you know what those disbelievers worshipped? They worshipped idols. They worshipped sun. They worshipped anything that was a non-living thing. So they thought that those things were their God. Yes, that's right, Farzan, they worship stars. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it clear by revealing these verses and saying that to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make it clear that I worship not that you worship. Subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given so many advices by these disbelievers, they wanted him to believe what they believed. Whereas Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not compromise the trust. He would not worship the false gods, the idol worship or idol worshippers worshipped. So in these verses, our beloved Prophet ﷺ is asked to speak to those idol worshippers who wanted him to give up some of his belief. Do you think that was okay to do that? If someone asks a person, a Muslim girl or a boy, to leave what you are worshipping, meaning associate someone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. And this is exactly what Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked to do. That he made it clear, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to make it clear that I worship not that which you worship. Okay? So verse number 3, ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد و and لا نار أنتم you عابدون worship ما that أعبد I worship nor will you worship that I worship. The idol worshippers were highly attached to their idols and they want to see their gods in physical form. This is why they had created those idols. They had pink idols, they had blue idols, they had green and red and different colored idols. Whereas for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will not worship one Allah whom they cannot see. They do not understand that these idols are useless objects. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that even if they think they are worshipping God through many idols, they were actually only worshipping idols, meaning they were not talking truth. They were not speaking truth. They were using all the lies that they could use. So these beautiful verses in Juz 30, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded us as Muslims and also through Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we should not compromise on our religion. Why? Because Islam is the religion of peace. Islam is the religion of tolerance. And we should not force other people to come towards Islam. Islam is the matter of faith, right? And everyone has the right to practice whatever they believe in. And the idol worshippers in Mecca, they wanted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give up some of his beliefs and compromise and follow some of their beliefs. Do you think that was fair? If they were doing that, do you think that was that fair? No, that was not fair at all. And this surah in Quran tells Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically and generally all of us that we should not compromise the truth no matter what. Whatever people are offering us, we should not be compromising the truth. Right? Inshallah. So those of you, I'm just going to lower your hand, those of you are interested in seeing the translation of Surah Al-Kafirun, let's give them a chance today. And remember, okay, one more time, I'm going to be lowering your hand. People who did not got a chance at all in the previous classes, I would request those people, to those little friends, to raise their hands. Okay, so if you did not get a chance in the previous classes, anytime you did not get a chance, not a single chance. So I would really, really love to hear your voice. And I want to ask you that please come, take the mic and say the verse number one and the translation. Okay, I have Rania Riaz. So let's be honest and give chance to who did not go and got any chance in previous classes. Rania.
قل يا أيها الكافرون. Say, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to the disbelievers. كافرون.
Very good. Very good, mashallah. Jazakallah khair kathira. Good job. Zuhair.
قل يا أيها الكافرون. Say, oh, you the disbelievers. لا أعبد ما تعبدون. I do not what you worship.
Okay, very good. Very good. MashaAllah. Let's see who is with us. Zuhair. We have a second Zuhair here. Verse number three, Zuhair.
ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد nor will you worship what I worship.
Very good, mashallah. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera, all my friends who participated. Very good, mashallah. I really, really love your voices. Okay. Neva? Yes, Neva? Verse number one? Okay, Naba, I cannot hear your voice, my dear. Zainab?
Yes?
Go ahead and say the first one and its translation as well.
Qul ya kafirun.
Qul ya أيها الكافرون.
قل يا أيها الكافرون. Translation. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the disbelievers, kafirun.
Yes, very good, mashallah. Jazakallah khayran kathira, mashallah. Very good. Hamna. Verse 2. Yes, Hamna. Okay, Hamna, your voice is breaking. Can you say the words again, please? Yes. Yes, Hamna.
La abudu ma ta'budun. I do not worship what you worship.
Yes, very good, mashallah, Hamna. Very good, mashallah. And Dilip, verse number 3. And Dilip, can you hear my voice, and Dilip? Okay, I think she has this lower in her hand. Ira. Aya, verse number 3, please.
Bala antum abiduna ma a'bud, and nor you worship that I worship.
Very good, mashallah. Nor you worship that I worship. Very good, mashallah. Okay, so we have time. We can just give three more students a chance. Sudain. Verse number one. Let's go back to verse number
one. O Muhammad, to the disbeliever, kafirun.
Very good, mashallah. Such a beautiful voice, mashallah. May Allah increase all of you in knowledge, mashallah. Alina, verse two, my dear.
لا أعبد ما تعبدون. I worship not that which you worship.
Very good. لا أعبد ما تعبدون. MashaAllah. Very well said. Mahad. Last words now. Mahad.
ولا أنتم أعبدون ما أعبد. I know you worship that I worship.
And now you will you worship that which I worship. Very good, mashallah. Very good. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera, my beautiful friends. I really like when you guys participate and when you guys all are all ready and very prompt in taking your mic. So this shows that you guys are very, very prepared for your class, mashallah. You know how to take mic and you know how to say quickly, mashallah. Is there anyone in our class who did not participate at all? Okay, just type in the chat box so that I can just save your names, and in future classes I can just go ahead and give you some chance. Okay, just type your name in the chat box. type your full name in chat box so that I can make a note of it and give you a chance in my next classes. Okay, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan kathira. Those of you who participated, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those of you who did not get a chance to participate, for all of you, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give lots and lots of knowledge of deen for you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us. Insha'Allah. So I'm just going to be saying the verses again, and I want all of you to repeat the verses with me so that we can just conclude our three ayahs of Surah Al-Kafirun. Let's say it together. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قل يا shower his lots and lots of blessings on all of you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of you to learn the verses and also its translation. Okay, inshallah, in next class we are going to be completing the surah, and this is the end for our Quran session, and we are moving towards our dua session, and your teacher, inshallah, she is going to be with you, and you're going to be learning the dua. So get set ready for the dua session. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي آمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. ليكن. How are you all? ما شاء الله learning new surah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with barakah in your all lessons that you are learning from Sister Sajida. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, learning day by day more and more, and learning lots of new du'as, lots of new things, and also waiting for the new month that is coming, Ramadan, inshallah. I know you guys, MashaAllah, very intelligent, and I also listening to your recitation, I was so happy, so beautifully you all recited, those who participate are very intelligent, mashallah, and I am proud of you all. And those who did not participate, I hope that next week definitely they will participate. Participation is a biggest thing. If you do not participate, if you will stay quiet, you will not learn. So I know you all are very quick learners, so do participate, okay, inshallah. So today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what decided for us, a beautiful dua again, which is a dua while leaving home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with so beautiful homes. Having a home is the biggest blessing. And nowadays, it's especially safe to stay at home, right? Schools are closed, jobs are closed, markets are closed, everything is closed because the home is a special thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with it. And it is the safest place to stay at home. So it means when we are going out, we are not safe. Outside is not safe. Nowadays, it is very unsafe because of the disease. And in the regular days, it is also not to stay outside for a long. So when we are going out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all protected. He wants to make us all protected. That's why he taught us a very beautiful dua through our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa وسلم that whenever we leave, we can stay in protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's learn this dua, and then we will understand why we have to read this dua and what kind of benefits we can get from this dua. Okay? Inshallah. Are you ready for that? I will recite and then you can repeat after me.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله توكلت على الله بسم الله توكلت على الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
One more time.
بسم الله توكلت على الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
Now let's understand the meaning. Allah, in the name of Allah, tawakkaltu, I place my trust of Allah in Allah, wala hawla, and there is no, wala quwwata, there is no mighty power, illa billah, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, let's understand what we are asking and what we can get the benefit, how we can get the benefit from this dua. Whenever we leave, we must say this dua because our Holy Prophet Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a person say this dua, at the same time, all of his affairs are guarded. For example, we are going to school, or for example, someone is going to the job, all of his affairs will be guarded and protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will be fully protected. And we will be protected from all the evils. From all the bad things. Bad things like that, maybe an accident can happen. Maybe something bad happened to us. Anything, we can get hurt or someone can hurt us. So we will be safe if we will say this dua every time we leave the house. We will be protected from all the shayateen as well, from all the bad things, from all the dirty things. We will be safe. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Okay, now we will continue our dua. We were talking about the benefits of this dua. We will be safe if we will say this dua every time we leave our house. When we are going out to our school, our job, or our work, we are doing effort. We are doing our best. But we know that whatever we do, everything will be accomplished by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This thing is called as trust. I place my trust means that we are doing our effort, but all my things, all my efforts, all kind of work will be accomplished only by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is called as tawakkul. We are having trust in our Allah.
ولا حول ولا قوة. There is no mighty power than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can save us. No one can save us. No, not our family, not any other one, not on any kind of our friend or anyone. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can save us from the shaitan, from all the dirty things, from all the bad evils, from any kind of accident or any happening that can happen to us. Because Allah is the most powerful, He is the most mighty. If we are having tawakkul, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us. When we say Bismillah, in the name of Allah, ikut barakah. When we say tawakkul to Allah, we are making our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. Allah will protect us from all the shaitan traps. And Allah loves such a person who has tawakkul on Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love us more when we say this dua. And when we say, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, then we are saying that He is the one who has all the power. He is so powerful. He can accomplish all our matters. He can do everything. He can protect us. He can save us. He can guide us. So alhamdulillah, we are praising Allah, we are putting our trust on Allah, and we are saying in the name of Allah so that we can get the barakah in our work. So what we have learned today is the beautiful dua while leaving home. Bismillahi, in the name of Allah, in the name of Allah, we will have barakah in our work. Tawakkal to Allah, by having trust in Allah, we are making Allah happy. We are getting help from Allah so that we can accomplish all of our work. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, by saying this, that there is no mighty power nor power except with Allah, we are getting protected by all kinds of shaitan traps, from all kinds of hardships, from all kind of sudden happenings. See how beautiful dua is it? Very short dua, and it has a lot of benefit in it. And also we have learned about a hadith, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he mentioned that a person who reads this dua will be protected, he will be guided, he will be saved, he will be saved from all the evils, he will be protected from the shaitan. So inshallah, we will learn this dua, we will memorize this dua, we will learn the translation, and whenever we go outside, we will say this dua and have tawakkul on our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. So one last time, I'm gonna read it. You have to repeat after me, inshallah. Bismillahi. Bismillahi. توكلت على الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. In one stretch. بسم الله توكلت على الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. In the name of Allah, I place my trust in Allah, and there is no might nor power except with Allah. Alhamdulillah, beautiful dua, we have learned, we have understand its meaning, and we also understand that how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. He wants to make us guided, He wants to make us protected all the time, each and every point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us so many du'as through our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So being a Muslim, being a practicing Muslim, it's our duty to learn this du'a and apply it whenever, and read it also whenever we are going out of the house, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan kaseera, dear kids. Now I'm leaving the mic for Sister Sajida for your next session. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. ما شاء الله such a fabulous, such a beautiful dua. Alhamdulillah, sometimes I feel so blessed and I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for such a beautiful name that guides us for each and everything we do. And mashallah, it's not only the du'as that we learn that are for our home, but also when we leave our houses, mashallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares a lot about us. And you know what? When we say the du'a, what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints home so that we are being protected with those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks whom to help us when we are leaving home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, mashallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints some spiritual beings, right? Angels. Very good. Very good, mashallah. Yes, I gave you a hint too, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints angels so that those angels protect us and stay with us. So moving towards our next session is about angels. Angels, alhamdulillah. And angels are spiritual beings. Spiritual beings, that who created them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. And those creatures are created out of light. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is mentioned in Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created human beings like us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us out of clay. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created jinns from fire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created angels out of light, out of nur. And our eyes cannot see them, but they can see us. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about angels, we should not ask a lot of questions like how do they look like, or where are they, or why we cannot see. It is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we cannot see them with our eyes, but for sure, they can see us. And angels, they do not have any choice. Whereas us human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a choice to choose from right and wrong. They are angels who are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do only good. They are the ones who do only good deeds. And their job is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So when we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us from clay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created jinn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in fire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created angels from light, we should not be arguing that why Allah created them with light, or why Allah created some creatures with fire and some with clay. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision. So however He liked this to be, right? Angels were created to do only good, and they are all the time worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are praising Him all the time. And they have no ability to commit evil because Allah does not give them those ill feelings that leads them towards evil stuff. So that means they are carrying out Allah's commands all the time, what they're asked to do. Isn't that wonderful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created such a creature that is only being created for carrying out His commands? Subhanallah. So what are we doing? Are we obeying Allah? Yes, right now we are. We are, alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this chance to praise Him, to learn His religion, to learn the deen, so that we can equip ourselves with good knowledge. And the best knowledge is the knowledge of Islam, the knowledge of Quran, the knowledge of Sunnah. Alhamdulillah. And what do angels need. Angels do not need food. They do not eat. They do not drink or sleep, just like we do, right? Can we stay without sleeping? No, we cannot stay up so long. And can we live without having any sip of water for many, many days? No, we need to eat, we need food, we need something to drink, and we need sleep so that we can recharge our bodies, right? So alhamdulillah, we are given a chance to refresh ourselves with food, water, and sleep. But angels, they don't have those needs, subhanallah. They don't eat, they don't drink, and neither do they sleep. And where do they live? They live, or they exist everywhere. They exist in the sky, on the earth, and right now, do you know that angels have covered the place that you are sitting at? Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, and also it has been mentioned in a hadith numerous times, that people who strive towards learning the knowledge of Islam, what do angels do? They cover those angels, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers his blessing on that person, on that place, on that house. MashaAllah. And yes, Muzaina, you are right. I will be coming on that point as well, that there are angels on our shoulders right now as well. Do you think the angels who are sitting on our shoulders right now, which one is busy? Is the one who is writing the good deeds or one who is writing the bad deeds? Which one should be busy right now? Which one should be busy right now? Yes, the one who is writing the good deeds. Yes, inshallah. And I expect all of you that you are taking your notes to learn the knowledge of Islam, right? So you are earning hasanat, you are earning good deeds, and you are making the right one busy, right? The right angels busy. And also, there is a quality in angels that they can cover long distances in a very, very short time. Okay? And they can appear in any shape or form they like. And how do they do that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the power. It's not that they do whatever they want to do. It is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows them to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the power to do that. It is only with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their time is occupied by praising Allah, mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names, glorifying Him and praising Him all day and night. As it is also mentioned in Surah Anbiya, verse 19 and 20. They never say, or they do not disobey by saying, what do I need to do? Just like sometimes a person might say, why do I need to pray all the time? Why do I need to offer five times a day? They never say that. They never disobey the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why a person would do that, right? We need to submit ourselves whenever it's the pray time. We should be ready by saying, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm ready. I'm coming for the prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm ready for sujood. I'm ready for ruku'. Right? And also, it has been mentioned in Surah At-Tahrim that the angels never rebel or disobey their orders in the slightest degree. Not even a mini 1%. They are sinless and obedient. Isn't that a wonderful creature? That they do not commit any sin. Very, very clean and pure their booklets would be. Why? Because they did not commit any type of sin. MashaAllah. So let's see some of the angels that were described in Quran or that we know about from the Ahadith, inshallah. So one of the greatest angels, and I believe so that most of you must know about that angel, that is Angel Jibreel. And how many group of angels are divided into? What are their duties? There are lots and lots of angels, but we only know about few of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the exact number of angels. We do not have any clear information about it, about the number of the angels in the Quran and Hadith. However, it is possible to say that there are far more than we count. Right? There are more than we know. And one of them is Angel Jibreel. And Angel Jibreel is the one who was appointed to bring the revelations to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the will of Allah. And in the Quran, the name of Jibreel alayhi salam is mentioned three times. Three times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the name of Jibreel alayhi salam. And in a hadith that was narrated by Abdullah bin Masood, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, who said that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jibreel alayhi salam in his true form. And he had 600 wings. Not one, not two, not six, 600 wings. Imagine such a big angel, subhanAllah. And each of which covered the horizon. And there fell from his wings jewels and pearls and rubies. MashaAllah, such a beautiful angel filled with jewels and pearls and rubies. MashaAllah, isn't that wonderful? Such a big angel was Angel Jibreel alayhi salam, who brought the book, the revelation that we have in the form of Quran today. SubhanAllah. Then we know about Angel Israfil. And who was the Angel Israfil? The angel that will blow the trumpet on the day of judgment, who is ready to blow the trumpet on the day of judgment. And Angel Mikael. Angel Mikael is responsible for pouring of rain, for the blowing of the wind, natural events such as the ordering of the seasons. We might think, who is bringing the rain? Where these droplets are coming from? This is brought by Angel Mikael. Then one of the angels is Angel Israel. What does the angel Israel do? His duty is to grasp the souls of people. He takes away the souls of people whose death time has come. He is also known as Malakul Maut, angel of the death. This is the angel who comes and takes away the soul when the time of death of a person has come. And Kiraman Katibin, as we had discussed earlier, that these are the angels, two very, very responsible angels that are writing. Right now, whatever I'm speaking, my angel is writing. So whatever you are doing or speaking, your angels are busy writing that, right? So we need to be aware. Just think that your audio video camera is on all the time that's being recorded. And who is recording that? Angels are recording that, right? So when there is a video recording going on, a person is very conscious, right? You might say, okay, I should use few words, or I should think before I speak. So similarly, when we make sure to ourselves that these angels are busy recording our words and everything that we are doing, that inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will help us do more and more good deeds, inshallah. Then are the angels known as Munkar Nakir. Do you know what these angels do? They are the angels that question the man when a man enters the grave. When a person dies and people take the person into the, put the person into the grave, these angels are ready, steady. They ask that person few questions Like who was your Lord? What was your religion? And what was your book? And what was your messenger's name? So those angels ask few questions from the person, from the dead person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows that person to speak and answer the questions of those questions that were asked by those angels. So subhanAllah, we know about few angels that do tremendous jobs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has many, many angels created, inshallah. And we, as I said earlier, that we don't know much about their appearances. And we should not make our guesses at how they look and be content that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us. I know some of you might be thinking that, oh wow, that's a lot of information, right? So whatever you remember, that would be good. And I hope that you were taking your notes while I was speaking and you were trying to write at least the names of the angels. I don't expect you to write all the information, but just writing the names of the angels and being familiar with the names of the angels would be great, inshallah. So that was all about the angels, the beautiful creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, and someone is waiting patiently for the story time, and I hope you guys are also waiting for the story time. I'm going to be leaving you. Jazakumullahu khairan kaseera for being so patient and for good listeners. Let's move on towards the story time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي رب ارجعني اللهم فقهنا في الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته my beautiful friends. How is everybody doing today? I hope you are all doing well inshallah. So I hope you're all excited for story time. Can anyone guess which prophet's story we'll be learning about today? Any guesses? Which prophet? I can give you a clue. This prophet came to the people of Thamud. And his name starts with the letter S. It's Prophet Salih alayhi salam. So we've been learning about Prophet Salih. And one cool fact about his story is that his story is mentioned many times in the Holy Quran. And you know, there are some prophet stories who are mentioned in the Bible and in the Quran. But Prophet Saleh's story is only mentioned in the Holy Quran. So let's start. Prophet Saleh lived in the region of Al-Hijr, which is located on a trade route from southern Arabia to Syria. The city of Madin Saleh, where he lived, lies several hundred kilometers north of Medina in modern-day Saudi Arabia. The rock houses where the people lived can still be seen today. They're so old, but you can still see them today. Salih alayhi salam was called to preach a message to the people of Thamud. So the Thamud tribe, they lived in Arabia, and they were doing shirk. They were disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bowing to idols, and over time, their hearts grew hard. And like the Ad giants, they built huge, massive homes and they carved them into mountainsides by skillfully cutting stones. And according to the Quran, these people cultivated very rich, fertile land, and they had become very greedy because of their wealth. They oppressed the poor, and their lives were very different from the lives that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to follow. Prophet Saleh's message was very simple. He told his people to turn away from bad behavior and to in turn listen to the one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gave them all of these blessings. That yet, the people of Thamud, they were very stubborn, and they refused to believe in the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent. They didn't listen to Prophet Saleh, and they said that Prophet Saleh was under a spell, and that he was a liar. And whenever something went wrong, they blamed Prophet Saleh alayhi salam for bringing them bad luck. And they said that, oh, you could have been a chief if you had not started preaching this message. So the people of Thamud, they were very stubborn and they were very greedy. And they refused in the message. And they refused to accept that Saleh alayhi salam was a messenger from God. And so they asked for a miracle to prove that he was true. And they asked for a very specific miracle. They pointed to a huge rock and they said that he should ask his God to create a she-camel out of it. Saleh alayhi salam did this. And he did this on one condition. And that condition was that they would believe in God if he produced the she-camel from the rock. And to this, they agreed. So, Saleh alayhi salam prayed to God. And then, the huge rock, it moved and it split. And from inside of it came a she-camel. God provided the Thamud people with this miracle to test them, to see if they would obey his orders. And the camel lived among the people of Thamud. And soon, it gave birth to a calf. Some of the people accepted to believe in God because of the miracle they had seen. However, the proud ones, they did not believe, and they began to hate the camel, since it reminded them of the promise they had made to Saleh alayhi salam. So the she-camel used to graze among their herds, and it used to drink their water. And in fact, one day the camel would drink, and the next day the other animals would drink. And Saleh alayhi salam told them to let it drink from the water of the well one day and leave it to them the second day as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered. So the camel, it wandered freely in the valleys. And Saleh alayhi salam warned Thamud to not harm her and do as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And the disbelievers, they were very, very angry. And the chief, they gathered them together and they plotted an evil plan. They agreed to kill the she-camel. And they also made another plan. They planned to also kill Saleh alayhi salam and his family. And this very evil man named Unayza offered his daughter to the killer as a prize, as a wife, to whoever killed them. So, the chief, whose name was Qadr, he agreed to kill the camel with 8 nasty guys. They went ahead with their plan, and they shot arrows at the poor camel, and Peter stabbed her. And the camel's baby ran off in fear. And she died as a crying baby fled to the mountains to disappear. The Thamud, they were very happy. And after killing the camel, they set off to kill Saleh alayhi salam. But Allah ta'ala sent stones from the sky that crushed them. Saleh alayhi salam warned the others of 3 days that they had to repent. And he left the Thamud as they said, bring on Allah's punishment. The fools, they refused Allah's mercy and they laughed as Saleh alayhi salam moved away. And their faces turned from yellow to red to black each new day. And one morning, the earth shook and a noise blasted from the sky. The Thamud died, screaming in pain, and they became like twigs, all dry. One of them, whose name was Abu Rughad, he hid in a sacred area as a way to escape. But right as he left that area, a storm from the sky came and hit him and killed him right on the spot. The Thamud lost their gardens and vines and dates and houses of rocks. And their stone homes didn't give them any protection. And they were punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was passing by the Thamud's area. But he didn't enter that area, but he passed by. And he warned that the area is cursed. And if you go there, you would cry. Oh, such scary story. And now this story is a very, very important story. And it's mentioned many times in the Quran, which shows how important it is. So in Surah Hud, verse 66, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so when our command came, we saved Saleh and those who believed with him by mercy from us and saved them from the disgrace of that day. Indeed, it is your Lord who is the powerful, the exalted in might. So the people who didn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were punished since they disobeyed. But the people who did believe, who were believers, and they believed in Saleh alayhi salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were saved. And now there's another ayah, which is Surah Al-A'raf in verse 73. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and to the Thamud, we sent their brother Saleh. And he said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no deity, meaning Lord, other than him. There has come to you clear evidence from your Lord. This is the she-camel of Allah sent to you as a sign. So leave her to eat within Allah's land, and do not touch her with harm, lest there seize you a painful punishment. So this shows us that Saleh alayhi salam, he warned the people, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the people a miracle, yet the people, they still disobeyed. And so they were punished, a very harsh punishment. So this story, there are many, many lessons that we can learn from this story. We can learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge and he could do anything. He can do anything. Like he split that mountain and he made a camel come out of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most powerful. And so we should always obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should do everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most powerful and no one can trick him. We might think, oh, we're doing this and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't find out. But that is very, very wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-knower. He knows about everything that's in our hearts and about everything in the world. And one last lesson is that for people who don't obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for people who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will for sure be punished by him. Maybe they won't be punished in this world, but on the day of judgment, they will for sure be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, we should all make it our goal to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khairan kaseera for such a beautiful story, such an inspiring story that helps us understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very merciful and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not leave anyone who goes and astrays the right path. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in learning the lessons that he has mentioned. Prophet, and these are the beautiful stories that we get from the Quran, inshallah. And I hope all of you have inferred a lesson from the story, such a beautiful story about such a prophet that had a chance to teach people about Allah's command. But what did they do? They did not listen to him, right? And what are we going to do when we know what does Surah Al-Kafirun mean? What does Surah Al-Fatiha mean? Right? We are going to be obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understand the meanings of the surahs, inshallah. So, the lesson, the homework is going to be that we need to practice the lessons that we learned from this story, and the most important lesson is that we need to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands no matter what, whether it's day, night, evening, or wherever we are. We need to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands all the time, inshallah. And we need to learn the translation of the three verses of Surah Al-Kafirun and learn the dua of leaving the home, of exiting the home. I hope you guys have noted it down, the dua of leaving the home. Okay. Anyone who would like to say the dua very quickly, I'm just going to lower your hands one more time and I would say, the first person who raises the hand, Naba. Okay, Naba, can you please go ahead and say the dua? Yes, Naba?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. بسم الله توكلت على الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
Very good, mashallah. Jazakallah khairan kathira. Such a beautiful dua that you have said. So I hope you guys are going to be memorizing the dua and you will be learning or you will be memorizing the translation of Surah Al-Kafirun as well. Okay? So if you have any questions, then you can email at nurulquran kidscourse@nurulquraninstitute.com. I'm going to be repeating the email. If you have any suggestions or if you have any concerns or if you have any questions, you can just email at kidscourse@nurulquraninstitute.com. So jazakumullah khairan kathira for such a beautiful participation, for being so active today. So enjoy your rest of the time and share whatever you have learned with your parents, with your mom and dad, and say thank you to them. So because they have been very nice with you by enrolling you in such a beautiful class where you can learn the deen, where you can learn the knowledge of Islam and also beautify your manners as well and be good Muslims and earn lots and lots of good deeds, inshallah. We are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this ability to have the virtual class, alhamdulillah. And I would ask you to say alhamdulillah to everyone. Okay, inshallah, say it loudly. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta samiul alim. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed is all hearing and all knowing. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بوجوهي لركوعي بخشوعي.